Welcome, dog moms and dads, to our show where we discuss the everyday joys and challenges of pet parenting. I'm your host, Jen.
And I'm Ashley.
And this is the Dog Mom Podcast presented by Zippy Paws. Here.
I was just saying, insert dancing.
Insert
dance. It's gonna be one of those.
Yeah, we're not recording video this week.
I'm really upset about it. If anyone out there listening knows me, it's just devastating.
Does anybody look at our faces on Spotify? Like, I've never listened to a podcast and was like, I wish I could see these people.
I didn't even know that Spotify did video podcasts. So,
well, you should go back and watch our previous or listen to our previous episodes, and you can see your face.
Yeah. I don't. There's very rare occasions where I'm like, I wonder what that person looks like. Now, I mean, if Ryan Gosling had a podcast, that might be a different situation. But I don't think people are that concerned with what I look like.
Oh, gosh. Well, this week we have some very exciting news. Da-da-da-da.
Probably not surprising for most people, honestly. Exciting, but not surprising.
Okay, well, I think we have to go back to the beginning of how it started. Way back.
Yes. Like, I mean, back to when I was a child and wanted every dog, or I guess it starts with Wagmore, right? This whole story is going to start with Wagmore. And I mean, it can go even further back. So background information to the backing up of this story is that Zippy Paws works with a pet rescue out of Studio City, California, Wagmore Pets. And we've been partnering with them. We've had a couple group outings where we go to the shelter, we donate toys, we walk the dogs. It's a whole thing. So I guess as part of our relationship with Wagmore, I've become pretty good friends with Melissa, who's the founder of that. And I had expressed my desire to help foster puppies, right? Or foster dogs, maybe not necessarily puppies, but foster dogs. And I, up to this point, have not been given the opportunity to do that for whatever reason, right? So I basically threw myself on the train tracks and was like, listen, if you need anything, absolutely anything, you let me know. And a couple days later, I got a phone call or a text saying, hey, we have three puppies really close to your neck of the woods. I'm about an hour away from their facility. And these puppies are going to get put down because they have parvo. We can fix them, but we need someone to pick them up. Oh, and they need to get picked up in about 15 minutes or they're going to get put down.
Yeah.
Like, what do you say to that? No.
Oh, sorry. I'm busy. My nails are
dry. I'm busy. So texted my poor husband, said, hey, I'm putting boxes in the backseat of the car and I'm going to go pick up these three puppies. And he was very, very good about it, but it's funny because I could feel the panic, right? Where he's like, wait, you're doing what? And I was like, listen, everything's fine. I'm just letting you know, I'm going to pick up these puppies. I'm going to take them to Studio City. And he's like, sure you are. Get to the rescue. This is a very condensed story because this is leading up to a different story, but I feel like it's valid.
Yeah.
Get to the rescue, find out that it was not three puppies. It was five pit bull puppies, which I have a weakness for pit bulls. I love the bully breeds and oh my gosh, they are just the cutest freaking puppies. So get to the shelter. I'm not going to name the shelter because I don't blame the shelter staff for this situation and I do not want hatred going towards them, but asked them, I was like, hey, I'm here with Wagmore to pick up the puppies. They go, okay, there's five. And I was like, I was told there's three, but okay. And I said, hey, which ones have parvo? They said, oh, well, we don't know. And what do you mean you don't know? We don't know. You can go around the back, pick them up. They had them in a quote unquote quarantine zone, which was basically like a horse kennel outside of the actual shelter. next to the freeway. I was very, very upset. And this is probably a conversation for another podcast, but upon first inspection, it was pretty clear that none of these puppies had parvo. Maybe the early stages of parvo where you can't, they're not exhibiting symptoms, right? But these puppies were happy. They were healthy. They were trying to eat. He had huge bellies, which we found out later were worm infestations. But super, super long story short, we were supposed to pick up these puppies, transport them to Studio City, who was going to take them somewhere else. The halfway transport got tied up and we kept these puppies overnight, gave them dewormer, had to keep them quarantined from our dogs, even though I was fairly certain, and it turned out to be correct, that none of them had parvo, that, you know, we don't want to expose them to our dogs. Our dogs are all vaccinated, but best to keep them separate. But having, so we had five puppies and then our two dogs, having seven dogs in the house at one time was a lot. It was a lot, but Wagmore was comfortable with us giving or administering some dewormer, checking for symptoms. I'm able to take dogs' temperatures. I went through Stella's kind of medical cancer situation. So yeah, they had a lot of faith in me. And miraculously, everyone's waiting to find out which puppy we adopted, right? Miraculously, the next morning, the second transport came through and off they went. And I was not sad to see them go.
I think it is a lot. You know, having five of them and you don't know their medical history, you don't know if they're sick. I mean, it's just a lot.
That's not to say we didn't fall in love with them. The shelters always named the dogs, and one of them was named Nico. And obviously that's my husband's name. So we had personal connections to certain puppies, but it was a very good reminder that I will never, ever have another puppy again. They're so cute, but they are so much work and they just have so much energy that I can't deal with. Although I say I don't ever want a puppy again, but
you say it's
gonna
that.
It's going to transcend, I mean, kind of to where we're at now. So fostered those puppies. Husband says, okay, let's not do that for a while. Okay. And the next week, Zippy Paws was actually out on location at Wagmore helping to clean kennels. We had kind of a group outing at their facility. And Melissa had told me, hey, we have a dog that is undergoing surgery to have her front leg amputated this week. Would you be interested in fostering her just for her recovery? Obviously, we have, like I said, we have that background of being able to care for dogs with medical needs. So mm-hmm. I was just happy that somebody was trusting me to do these things, right?
And you replied, oh, sorry, my husband said that let's not do that again for a little bit.
Of course. Correct? Of course. Of course. And then I changed my there was a text message conversation that went to my husband that was essentially, hey, we're fostering another dog. This one's gonna have three legs. And you know, I saw pictures of her. She was, they named her Zelda, and she's super, super cute puppy, dog. The vet had estimated that she was about 3-4 years old, and she kind of looked like a brindle version of Tova.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or for all of you dog buffs out there, she almost looked like when I initially saw her, she looked like one of the blue heeler dogs, but taller.
Yeah. And like thinner, I think.
And thinner, right? So she had all of the markings of that heeler, but didn't have necessarily the body type. So I said, sure, went and picked her up right immediately following surgery. Like, I think I got her an hour after she had her leg amputated, drove her from I haven't had enough coffee, apparently, Studio City area, and brought her back to my house and started the long recovery process of her becoming acclimated to having three legs, which, I mean, shockingly, you and I have talked about this. It was non-existent. She jumped out of the car. I had trouble keeping her still.
And did the shelter tell you why she needed surgery?
Oh, yeah. This is so sad. So she was picked up I believe, on the side of the road with a severely broken leg and a litter of non-living puppies. Dead puppies just sounds so terrible when you say it.
Oh my
gosh,
I didn't know this.
She was pregnant. She had lost all of her puppies, and her arm was so broken that the options weighed, I guess, were trying to fix it and having about a 10-month recovery. Sometimes it's not always successful, or amputating it. And because these are all the questions that I asked too, just because I was curious. And amputation, they had told me, is a much easier recovery. Mm. And I scoffed. I was like, that's ridiculous, but okay, you do what you got to do.
But now you can see that, yeah, that was the right decision.
Yeah. And I mean, she was on a pretty good cocktail of pain medication. So she never felt pain. She had phantom pains a couple times where, you know, I read up so much on dog amputation, nowhere near an expert, but definitely have some background to go off of. And she didn't seem to experience that much pain. We gave her medication religiously and watched over her. When I had told my mom that we were going to foster a dog that was losing her leg, she showed up that same day with about 8 pieces of bedding from Pottery Barn. she wanted her to recover in comfort. So we got this massive crate for her, because obviously we weren't sure how she was going to get along with our dogs or our cats. And yeah, she kind of lived the life. We had no problems with her taking her medicine. She ate really well. You could tell she had just recently given birth, because she had some of the medical issues, not issues, but complications that go along with that. So a lot of learning experiences. I've never dealt with a dog that has had puppies. I was researching if she was going to go into depression because she didn't have her puppies. But overall, just, you know, she's a really, really, really sweet dog. And so we're, you know, trying to learn all these things about her. I'm writing her adoption profile. And I would say, I mean, you called it pretty early. I've had a couple of friends gone back and said,
looks like your dog, you know, like when you had her.
I thought she was weird looking.
No, she's not. She's not pretty.
She's not, but she's beautiful. She's very, very beautiful. But spoiler alert, we foster failed. ended up deciding we wanted to keep her. We fostered her for about 2 weeks. The big bombshell here, I guess, is that she's very cat reactive. She's not aggressive towards cats, but she likes to chase. So after the first week, we had introduced her to Bjorn and Tova. They got along really well. Tova's a little bit of an attention hog, so she's not her favorite. Bjorn loves her. They play, they roughhouse. We had to keep them separated because I was afraid she was going to pop a stitch. And it kind of, we would watch them interact, and this dog loved me, right? I think that, you know, you have relationships and animals in the house gravitate towards one specific person.
For sure.
Everybody thinks Bjorn loves me the most. He loves my mom the most. he would throw me in front of a bus if he thought it would save my mom. And Tova is very much a daddy's girl. She's become a mama's girl since we've gotten the third dog, but I think that's just because she's jealous. But this dog would cuddle with me. She would lay down with me. And one of my girlfriends had said, you know, after we told her we were keeping her, she goes, I knew as soon as you guys trauma bonded that you were going to keep her. And I hadn't looked at it that way, but yeah, I think honestly that's what happened. And so after the first week, we realized she was cat reactive, and that was kind of like my husband and I had that conversation of, okay, well, we can't keep her. Mm-hmm. If she's going to chase the cats, it's something that we can't deal with, and it's not fair to the cats. And I would say a couple days later, it was time to give him back. And it was the hardest thing. We had spent the last 2 days before taking her back trying to start training her. Like, hey, is she trainable? Because obviously if she's trainable, we can work with her. I'll never leave her alone with the cats, which is fine. The cats have their own suite in our home. But it kind of felt like a little bit like we were giving up. And I didn't necessarily communicate that to Nico right away because I don't want to force another dog on him. And I told him, I was like, listen, I'm really upset, but I'm going to get over this. This is part of fostering. I want to be the best foster parent I can be. And I think we've set her up for success. And so dropped her off, I think a Thursday morning. And I sobbed. I took her in. I walked away and went back to my car because I didn't, you know, I didn't want shelter staff seeing me cry. They did a little bit, but not to the full capacity. And I think this story sums up how I felt the best because I was sitting in my car in Studio City trying to collect myself so I could drive. And somebody taps my window to make sure that I was okay because apparently I was sobbing so loudly. And one of my windows was slightly cracked that you could hear it outside. So,
oh my gosh.
Mortifying, right? But I had a good cry. I drove home and it was sad, but I was okay. Mm-hmm. I think I had come to terms with it. It's just like losing a dog. She had been with us for 2 weeks. I had taken care of her around the clock. She needed medicine like 8 times a day. And so I kind of had that empty space. And the next day I was sitting at home doing work and I got a text message from Nico that just said, go get her. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, I'm sorry, what? He goes, go get her. I think that he goes, we need to pick her up. Oh, actually, you know what? Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Oh, there was my one, gosh.
There's one tidbit of information that I think is relevant because we had checked in with the rescue staff and how she was doing and how many applications had come in. Because Nico had, and you remember this, Nico had said, if she's not been adopted in a month, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
So I had reached out to Wagmore. They said, oh, we haven't really had any interest in her yet. It had only been a day.
Yeah.
Nico was furious. Nico's like, why? There's nothing wrong with her. She's perfect. And I was like, I think you need to calm down.
Yeah, so it's the only next been day, a day, you know, like they haven't even gotten her profile set up or anything.
Right. And so the next day when he texted me, I go, are you just sitting there thinking about her? He goes, yeah, I just can't help but think that we rehabilitated Tova. Tova had severe anxiety and a lot of behavioral issues. He goes, and it's not fair to just give up on her, which was exactly how I had been feeling. I just hadn't told him that. And so we decided, we're like, all right, let's go get a third dog. And here we are. We've renamed her Elska, which is in line with our Swedish dog name. So it means love. She is the love of our lives. We're very happy Tova's coming around. I will say, so Wagmore was very gracious. We had 2 back-to-back trips planned where we were going to be gone for a week, and that's not a good time to acclimate a dog. And they kept Elska for a week, and she got to continue her healing and interact with people, and we picked her up. Totally different dog. And I think we knew. I think we had some kind of an idea that she'd have some difference in behavior just because she's obviously not recovering from a very traumatic surgery.
Right. Because when you actually first saw her and she just had surgery, that's a different her than her, the real her, really, you know?
Than the psychopath that now runs through my hallways. I'll tell you what, I quiver thinking about her with 4 legs. It's terrifying. She is so fast, so rambunctious. I mean, she's cute as hell, but she is a problem. She is a massive problem. She is the instigator of everything.
That, but the one time that I met her, she was super calm, non-reactive, you know, came and licked me, didn't jump on me at all. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Do eye rolls make noises? Because I'd be making a lot of noises right now. She's not. So she's great on a leash. She is very, very smart. So we've been working with our local vet and then also a trainer to really integrate her with the cats properly. Mm-hmm. So she's seen them. They've made eye contact, but she's not allowed near them off leash or outside of her crate. I think we've successfully crate trained her at this point. But she's picked up so many commands. So she can now sit, she can now lay down, she's working on weight. And I think once we've mastered, I'm trying to think, that we have a list. So once we've mastered watch me, sit, lay down, and wait, then we can start kind of incorporating her with the cats. And she just basically learns that the cats are an object that she can't have.
Mm-hmm.
But she's picking it up super fast. Took her to our vet who, you know, had asked me what I had known about her, looked at her records. And obviously when they're rescues, they come in and they get assessed, you know, fairly quickly. It's not an in-depth process, but our vet went through everything. We did a blood panel on her, made sure everything was good to go. And our vet said that she does not think she's more than a year and a half old. Which,
awesome.
Which if all of you guys out there listening are catching my drift, I swore I didn't want another puppy. And I essentially just got a full-grown puppy. And yeah. She has all of that puppy energy. Poor Bjorn, she terrorizes him. I think he likes it, but man, she's got a lot of energy. So yes, I foster failed. We're not getting, and I will put it down here for the world to listen to, we are not getting another dog until we buy some ranch in the mountains. We live in a condo, for everyone out there who doesn't know. It's a very large condo. It's got a very nice size yard area. But it's still a condo. So we now have 3 dogs and 2 cats.
You have more people in your home than I do.
I mean, and that's saying something.
Yeah.
Wait, no. Hold on. So you have 7?
Me. Oh, fuck. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same. Well, I mean.
Wait.
Yeah.
No, me. Go. 3 dogs. 2. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know how we get ourselves into this. I regret absolutely nothing. It's a lot of work. I guess I'll keep everyone updated on how she's doing with her training and integrating the cats. And I think it does warrant a disclaimer that if people out there that are listening are fostering a dog that they fall in love with that is not necessarily great with every animal, my honest recommendation would be to just help them find a home. I think what we're doing with Ulska is not common, and it's definitely not easy. And I have the luxury of working from home, so I don't have to worry about them being, you know, separated for long periods at a time. I have a very good network of resources to help me with this too. It's definitely not something that we're doing alone. And it is hard. And I think that the one thing that we always have at the back of our mind is if we make one mistake once, that could potentially be very detrimental to our cats. So we love our cats very dearly. It's something that we're taking very, very seriously. I'm confident that the outcome is going to be good. She's not ever going to go to another home because, you know, she's not BFF with Po and Aria, but that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But I'm happy.
And I think for someone who is like fostering or thinking of fostering, it's, you also have to keep in mind like your emotional, you know, and mental like level, I guess, you know, and just be true to yourself about that. I think you definitely had a little more in you, so.
It's funny, and I think that I cannot remember who told me this. So if you are listening and you are the person that told me this, let me know and we'll give you post credit. It was foster animals that do not work for you, that do not work for your lifestyle, that you do not typically, or that you're not drawn to, right? So I fostered these puppies and I had this false sense of, oh, I can, this is, you know, it's sad, but I can definitely do this because I don't like puppies. And so
who doesn't had like I puppies?
I love puppies. I don't want puppies.
I see. Okay.
But so fostering a dog that looked like Tova, that is, you know, she's perfect on paper for us. She is very active when she's outside. We take the dogs on a lot of outdoor adventures, and when she's at home, she's very chill. She, as weird looking as I thought she was, she's very in line with our dog aesthetic, it seems. She, you know, she checks all those boxes. And I also have a soft spot. I think we were talking about this with Julia on our last episode. I have a soft spot for disabled animals. I don't think anybody doesn't. And so, yeah, it was definitely hard. But I think that advice of if you want to foster animals that you're not typically drawn to. And I think that's good advice, honestly, because it at least lessens the potential that you're going to become emotionally attached.
Yeah. I mean, if that's your goal, then that is good advice. But I feel like if I was fostering a super cute golden retriever that needed me, how could I say no, right? would I just say, no, I'm not going to foster that dog because...
I mean, luckily, no one, like, you're not going to have an issue with someone not wanting to foster that dog. I feel like with certain breeds, right, where they're like, hey, we need someone. Are you interested? You could politely decline if you wanted to, confidently knowing that the next person is going to say yes.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And I mean, I think that someone would have fostered Elska too. And Wagmore had joked that they were pretty sure that the person that fostered her would keep her. Didn't think that was going to be us, but they're all staring at me from the backyard too. They know I'm talking about them.
So how has life been different with three dogs now, transitioning from two?
You know, save for the fact that I have to make sure the cat... So the only thing that has changed is that I lock the door that the cats are in when I leave. Before I didn't. The cats had a little bit more freedom than they used to, or had a little bit more freedom before. Elska can open doors, so I have to make sure that everything is locked. She's an escape artist. But for the most part, not much else has changed, honestly. I think that I've gotten closer to Tova because Bjorn and Elska really go off and do their thing in roughhouse, which Tova doesn't like to do. And if anything, I think it forces me to spend equal amounts of time with them all now because there's so many that I want to make sure that they're all, you know, their lives stay the same and their quality of life stays the same. So I've spent more time sitting down with my cats one-on-one and playing with them. Cause before I would play with them while the dogs were out and then the dogs would kind of jump in and try to take their toys. But now I have designated cat time and I actually really, really like it. So
That's nice. What about like walks? Cause that's something that I don't know about. That's when I was thinking about getting another dog from one to two, that's what we thought about. But we also live in like a super windy road, like neighborhood, and cars are going, like, we don't have a sidewalk. So that could also
be. We definitely have sidewalks. Leash training is one of my biggest things. And it's because, again, we live in a condo. They have a small-ish yard, but their size, they really need to be out one to two times a day on decent size walks, right? Mm-hmm. If they're not spending the whole day outside. And I can't take a dog on a 1 to 2 mile walk if they're making it miserable. It's just not a good thing. So Bjorn and Tova are already really good on a leash. Mm-hmm. And Elska came to us good on a leash. She can walk with a collar, no harness needed, and just not tug. And I think the other dogs have picked up on that. We, up until maybe like a week ago, I hadn't walked the three of them by myself because I was concerned. So we would just take them out in the morning before Nico went to work and once at night after he was home. But I took them out and I bragged in our work Slack channels because I was so pleased with myself when I admittedly did nothing. They're really, really, really good on leashes. Mm-hmm. If I have to split them up, that's also fine.
I mean, I think that's just a testament to like how well you leash train them. Because I mean, I don't. Debatable. To be honest, like I don't really spend that much time leash training my dogs, and they are kind of crazy. I mean, they're good. They walk together, and they don't.
They're so cute.
You know, they're good, but they're not. They do tug. You know, so.
It's also location too, because all of my dogs are very good in our neighborhood, where they're comfortable. They're mm-hmm. not necessarily as agreeable if I were to take them to the mall. They're great on hikes. They're terrible at the beach. Well, Bjorn and Tove are terrible at the beach. I haven't taken Elska yet. So it just depends. And again, we do work with them. I'm not trying to downplay that, but they're also just really good dogs. I don't want to give myself too much credit.
There's this funny thing that Birdie always does that on walks that is hilarious but also infuriating, is when she wants to switch sides. Like, you know, if she wants to be on the left side or the right side, she'll always have to let me go first and go behind me. So then if you like see me walking down the street and then you just see her like darting behind me, she's like walking da 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 da, and all of a sudden she's like, ear, you know, she put the brakes on, and then, you know, meanwhile me and Kramer are still like, you know, walking forward, she's like, ear, and then she like goes behind me, goes the other side, sniffs something, and then goes ear, and then goes over to the left again. So I mean, she just does that. I don't know why. She just won't walk cross me in front. I don't know why.
This so is your alpha to her,
I guess.
It's like a chain of command,
I guess. But it kind of like, you know, screws up our rhythm, and you know, I can't really walk them with like one of those leashes that split, because she always does that.
That's what I haven't seen them for three. I've seen them for two. We've kind of modified our zippy leashes. Nico calls it the uni leash. It doesn't work anymore because obviously we've got three and not two. They do get tangled. That's the one drawback of trying to keep them all close together, is they get tangled up. And Elska is actually, I don't know if I'm supposed to laugh about this because she's technically disabled, but if she gets tangled up in a leash, it's very different than a dog with four legs, because she it's easier for her to hog tie herself, and she falls all the time. She face plants. And at this point, like we don't coddle her. I have never, even when she first started really learning how to like come to terms with her situation, where her head would bobble a lot because she was trying to balance and she would mm-hmm. fall. And my mom would come over and say, oh, poor thing, wait for her. I'm like, no, no, like, because our thought was that she was going to go someplace else. I go, she has to be equipped with everything she needs. Obviously, my heart breaks, but you know, she's got to toughen up a little bit. And she's, I mean, it's paid off. But yeah, she, when she gets tangled in her leash, it cracks me up. I'm like, wait, because it wraps around like her body too. And yeah, it never gets dangerous. But yeah, and I mean, like, when Bjorn and Tove get stuck, it's, you know, they lift their leg and move, but Elska doesn't necessarily have the luxury of lifting her front leg.
Yeah, she can't do that. Oh, wow, didn't really think about it.
Yeah, she's a worm. We've been putting the jumbo donut around her neck, and she, like, can't get it off, because, again, she's only got one front leg. And Nika, I was going to post it, and Nika goes, you can't post that because you're laughing in the background and people are going to think you're a terrible person. But she loves it. She also doesn't have a tail. Her tail was broken, I believe, in the accident. It doesn't look like it was properly docked. So she's got an extra long nub. But her, you can see when she's happy, because it does like this weird little vibrate thing.
Well, she can be nub twins with Kramer, because Kramer also has a nub.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, his was docked for medical reasons, but yeah, nub buddies.
Nub buddies. I don't know if I'm okay with that.
Oh gosh.
But she's always happy. She's always happy. She drives my husband and I crazy. And Nico looked at her the other day and he was like, she's just so wholesome though. She's just so happy.
Yeah, she does. That's all you can ask for.
Aww. And she's not skinny anymore. Well, I mean, she's still trim, but she was emaciated when we got her. She was really thin. I fixed that problem real quick. Fix that problem with myself every day too.
I'll never have that problem.
Yeah, like I feed myself as if I am an emaciated dog.
I feel emaciated. Spoilers. Oh, gosh. So what else is new?
Oh, I have. Have we talked about my rude neighbor on this podcast? I don't know if we have.
I don't know. I don't. Was it? You've talked about neighbors that keep their dog on the patio. Is that the same one?
Oh, that was the Rottweiler family. No. Yeah. They've since gotten, they keep their dog on a patio still, but they have since gotten a giant tent for her to lay in and then a fan, and they always have water. So
that's good.
My constantly calling animal control has done something. I've never actually had this, now that I think about it, but I've never had a quote unquote rude neighbor. I've never had issues with how they, you know, other people handle their dog, but they've never been combative. We have a neighbor. So we live in a condo complex and it's, you know, it's like a neighborhood, and some people's doors, they have small patios that essentially open to a sidewalk, right? So they'll have like their doorway, little patio, greenery, little piece of grass, sidewalk. And then that's how it is. And I was taking, this was a while back, but I was taking Bjorn to go to the bathroom, and Bjorn pees on bushes. That's his favorite thing to do. I don't know how to make him stop it. But he's peeing on a bush, literally on a bush, on grass. It's not hitting anything else. And this woman's driving by and she comes to a screeching halt, throws her car in reverse and rolls down her window.
Oh my gosh.
And goes, "Hey, I need your dog to not pee there." It's like, "I beg your pardon?" Like, "I'm sorry, I have 5 minutes before a meeting. I can't deal with you right now." And she goes, "Everybody's dogs pee there, and it makes the front of my house smell like pee." She's like, "I have to hose down the plants." And I go, "Okay, but this is," I go, "this is public property." Yeah, you know that, right? Sidewalk. And she's like, "Well, you can't pee there. He can't, I don't want him peeing there. I have a big issue with it. So just make him pee somewhere else." She goes, "Because my dog goes there all the time and that's bad enough." Well, lady, you think that maybe because your dog goes there that other dogs are trying to cover his scent? Yeah, and like, exactly. I could go on and on about this woman. She lets her dog run out to the bathroom off a leash, never picks up after it. He's charged Bjorn multiple times. He's like a little Maltese. He's very cute, but very ill-behaved. And and I went back home after that thinking like, well, had I done something wrong? And I've talked to a lot of dog people and everyone seems to agree that it's grass. I try to steer Bjorn away from peeing there, right? But now I've found with walking three dogs at the same time, there are times when he kind of veers a little bit and I can't necessarily catch him, and I'm not going to yank him through the air mid pee because the lady doesn't want her bush to smell like a dog. But yeah. I guess my question is, and I mean, you and I have already talked about this, but you can reiterate that you support me on this podcast. Yeah. Like what do you do in that situation? I mean, I'm not going to fight with my neighbor, but the fact that she was so upset about it bugs me.
I mean, okay, so Karen's gonna Karen, so you can't really control how she feels, right? And I've had neighbors who are like not that rude to me, but they obviously show that, you know, they're not happy about it. So in that case, like whenever, you know, I see them out or they're driving by or something, I just keep my leash really taut so my dog does not pee in front of their house. Yeah. And that's the only thing I can do, right? But if I don't see them around, I mean, I'm not doing anything. And of course, if my dog poops, of course, I, you know, pick it up and everything. And if there's sometimes there are like little remnants of poop on like the gravel or something, I'll just kind of like kick around the mulch a little bit just to cover it up so it doesn't look like... Yeah. You know, so you know, I do, manners. I do what I can, but they're dogs. And, you know, I'm also annoyed that there's a new puppy in my neighborhood and the owner lets the puppy kind of on our like front curb area, and it's kind of at a slant. So if your dog goes on the mulch and, you know, walks around and does a thing, like the mulch kind of like, you know, goes on the street. So it makes my street really messy with mulch, and I don't like that. But
that's annoying. That's annoying.
And I, you know, I like to keep my street, like my curbside really nice and neat and pretty. I go like, you know, I'm always out there obsessively like sweeping up. Okay, it's weird. Okay, I don't want to go into that because I don't want to reveal too much about myself.
Who you are.
But it gets really annoying. But I understand it's a dog, right? So if I see them walking and they're doing this, it's not like I'm going to say anything, you know? So, I mean, I could, but I just don't want that contention between, like, our neighbors. Because I try to, you know, have a really good relationship with my neighbors.
Exactly. Well, and I think that it's once it goes that step further of, okay, you're defacing property, that's a little bit different. Like, I wouldn't want a dog coming into my front yard and digging, right?
Yeah.
And creating messes that I have to clean up. But this woman, this is, I think I might have left this out initially. She wanted me to come back with a jug of water and clean off the bush. Mm. It's like, we have sprinklers. It's not poop. It's pee. The smell is going to go away. And I told her, I was like, you know, my best advice, if you don't want other dogs peeing here, is to probably have your dog stop peeing here.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, what was funny is that I was on vacation one time, and then I saw this lady walking a dog, and then she had like a squirt bottle with her. And this was like, you know, in like the town square where there wasn't a lot of greenery. And so the dogs would just pee on like trash cans and, you know, just basically concrete asphalt. And she would just like hose it down with her little squirt bottle, which I thought was like cool. Very, very considerate.
Yeah.
I think she just used like an empty like dish soap, like a Dawn little thing where the That's top so kind of pops up. Yeah. So I thought that was like super, you know, considerate of her. But also they live in like the city. So, you know, I understand there's no sprinklers in the middle of like a bench.
Yeah. And I think when it starts moving into sidewalk territory, that gets a little gross too. Like Bjorn is, when he was a puppy, has had accidents on either like our patio or our front sidewalk area. And we've gone in and just hosed it off because that does get nasty. I understand that. But it was just a bush that bothered me. Like, that's a dog.
Yeah.
That's like saying don't have him pee on a tree.
Like, yeah, exactly. So you can't really stop a dog. I mean, you could literally just like prevent them. But then if they're going, like, what are you going to do? Right.
Yeah. So I guess I'm going to throw it back to our listeners. What are your thoughts on dog etiquette? Because I was of the impression that I was pretty good when it came to, you know, just dog etiquette in general. There's a lot of rules and I have a lot of things to say about it. So I always try to make sure that I'm putting my money where my mouth is. But dogs peeing on bushes, is that controversial now? Is that where we're going?
Okay, you know what? I have another scenario that I think is more controversial that we can discuss next episode. I want to like think about it. But it's throwing away dog poop in other people's trash cans.
I hate that. I absolutely hate that.
But I do have thoughts about that. You know, I feel like there are different okays based on certain scenarios. But we'll table that.
And I've got so many things to say though.
Okay, yeah. Well, we don't have time to talk about all that stuff. So we'll keep that for the next episode. I have a lot of things to say about that too. So
I have like I'm coming out with my like mental outline in my head of what that looks like.
Yeah, you're gonna send me the outline to next week's episode and it's gonna be like 5 pages long.
Right. Well, I think before we wrap this up, and I think this was nice. This was like a little quick catch up short one, but we do want to send a big congratulations to Daniel Suarez for his first NASCAR Cup Series win in Sonoma a few weeks back. That was very exciting. And following a Zippy Paws event. So I think Zippy Paws had some role in that luck. But
yeah, we had a meet and greet with some Daniel and his fans at a brewery, I think on the Friday before the race. And I'm just going to put it out there. This is the first time we did a meet and greet in front before a race. And he won. So we are one for one.
Right? Our track record is pretty good.
Hey, so. Track record.
Right? Track house, let us know. We're good luck. But congratulations to him. A couple of us were on site for that win, and it was phenomenal. He made history. He became the first Mexican-born NASCAR champion, which is also amazing, but couldn't have happened to a better guy. We're very excited for him.
Agreed. It was super cool to watch it. I mean, I know you and Nick were there, but I watched it on TV, and it was surreal to see it, you know. And my son was going crazy too. He was like screaming, and well, of course he doesn't know anything, but I took a video, and it just kind of added to the fanfare of Daniel winning.
It was. I will say I was not a fan of NASCAR before really kind of taking this endeavor into this partnership. And I know I'm still grateful to Nick for all that he's taught me about it. And I never thought that I would be that emotional, but we've become very, very close with Daniel and his girlfriend, Julia, obviously, just talked with her. But, you know, I think that my favorite part of his win was seeing her, honestly, was seeing it through her eyes and just the emotion that comes with it. And I think that you and I can really relate to that because we support our husbands so wholeheartedly. But just to experience that with both of them was amazing, and to get covered in champagne and confetti and just see it, yeah. You know, you always want to see your driver win, and you don't necessarily assume that you're going to be there in person to see it happen. So that was also very cool. But
yeah,
very, congratulations very cool. To everyone involved in that win. All right. Well, if you want to boop that follow button, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Dog Mom Podcast and our website at www.zippypaws.com/Dog Mom Podcast. And we'll come back with another episode soon. Jen and I are actually taking a short trip, so maybe we'll have to do some dog mom content when we're at Terranea next week without the dogs. What dog moms do when they don't have their dogs. Dog moms gone wild. There you go. That should be a good one. Jen is having issues with her internet, so if it sounds like I'm talking to myself, that's because I essentially am. But yeah, thanks for listening as always, and we'll catch you guys next week.